This week, we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, and is it really still that big of a deal?
And should we delay the election, or should we allow mail-in ballots?
All that and more, only on the Midday Mumbles podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Midday Mumbles podcast. I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And today, we are going to be talking about, I love how whenever Trump tweets something, you have the media, like, they're like sharks. They're like shark. You know, have you ever seen the movie Jaws when, you know, they throw a steak in there or they throw, you know, they just go. That is whenever Trump tweets, that's the media. The media are the sharks. They come from all angles.
Well, that's people in general. They right. See flaws. They hunt for flaws, but especially the media. And then especially the media targeting Donald Trump because they don't like him.
So I guess one of the biggest, one of the newest breaking news, Donald J. Trump, President Donald Trump tweeted, and I love how we're reporting on him tweeting something. That's really great. So with universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the United States of America. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote.
Bingo.
And obviously, the media is thinking, oh my God, Trump is literally worried about losing. Where did you get that from?
Well, no, I mean, I think that's a fair assumption a general person could make. You know, you're hanging out with your buddies and you hear this and you're like, well, maybe he's just scared. You know, maybe he's just afraid he's going to lose.
Yeah, but do we remember the 2016 election?
A news conglomerate, you know, the news shouldn't be like sitting at their, you know, office table or whatever and being like, we should talk about this because clearly he is trying to delay the inevitable of him losing. No, it's not fully rational. I mean, it's somewhat rational. It's rational enough for general people to maybe come to that assumption. But for the news to portray that, that seems kind of childish.
Let's be honest. You know, if you didn't live, if you've been living under a rock and you're not familiar with what happened in 2016, you know, the Democrats lost and they blamed it on the Russians hacking the election. You know, they couldn't accept defeat. And for them to sit here and say, oh, Donald Trump saying this isn't him, accepting defeat. No, because the facts are mail-in ballots are going to be easily fraudulent. It's going to be a fraudulent election for the most part. I mean, regardless of who wins.
Well, I mean, a lot of that. I mean, there's already a lot of voter fraud in the United States. There's already a lot of people that aren't legally citizens voting as the dead old lady down the street.
In 2016, I think it was reported that 5 million dead people voted. What? Are you serious? 5 million people. That's enough to swing. That's enough to swing an election right there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But their vote, what the fuck?
There's already a barrier in stopping that. I mean, it happens. It happens in a system that it's hard for that to happen in currently, which is that, you know, Pablo whatever that illegally came through the border from Mexico is clearly not like Suzanne, some old lady last name, and is 93, you know? So people already can kind of, you know, tell a lot of that sort of stuff. But if you allow mail-in voting, which has basically no proof of who you are, or at least easy to evade proof of who you are, the numbers of fake votes will skyrocket just naturally.
I think what really bothers me about this is the fact that the liberal media is running the story basically saying that, painting Trump as a sore loser, like he's gonna, like they're basically saying that they're making it seem like the election's already happened and he's already lost.
Well, you know, sure.
When in reality, he's not.
That's what they did in 2016. That's what they're doing now, but a little bit stepped up.
From the people, and, you know, and I think this is coming from the people that were extremely sore losers because they lost in 2016. And let's be honest, they were sore losers. They were as sore as they come.
Right.
You know, they acted like babies. I mean, there's even that clip of that kid or that guy going, you know, the crying, you know, he gets on his hands and knees.
The meeting with, I think it was YouTube, like all of YouTube having a meeting, all, and they were all so sad after the 2016 election results.
And regardless of who you support, I think that we have, our country is so goddamn fucked up with the progressives. Sure. And
but I mean more importantly, I think we should be discussing delaying the vote. Is that actually a terrible idea? Is that a good idea even? Is it, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's a slippery slope to allow the elections to be delayed in a country that's very firm on election term or on you know, presidency terms and other terms like that. We've always been pretty bang, 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 bang with that, you know? So to delay it is a really significant thing that should not be taken lightly. But it's an opinion, which the president has. I don't know if I agree with delaying the vote. I definitely don't agree with mail-in votes. But if you look at the coronavirus problem at face value, as in what is portrayed to us and what we, heavy quotations, know, delaying it seems maybe smarter than allowing it. But I don't necessarily buy the coronavirus numbers fully. You know, maybe I'm just conspiratorial. But
rather than delaying the election, let's hold the election. But rather than do mail-in votes, just say if you want to vote, you show up, or you have an absentee ballot, and then we do the absentee voting as we've always done. It's, you know, if you really care about this election, come out and vote. It doesn't matter what the hell is going on. You know, maybe they could do the voting booths 6 feet apart.
Sure,
you know, they can really take.
But the government, if the coronavirus is a problem, which is up for debate in my mind, but if it is a problem, then having the government have everyone vote traditionally is kind of not the smartest thing in the world.
Yeah, but even, listen, there is so much hypocrisy with this whole goddamn coronavirus thing. You know, the numbers are inflated, and we'll get into that in the coronavirus section, but there's so much, like, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a conservative, but I'm saying this more or less because of the fact that I believe personally that the coronavirus was blown out of proportion for this exact reason. They want the mail-in votes because that means more people are going to vote, and most, you know, there are a lot of lazy people that don't like to go out and vote. They don't like to get off their ass and vote. So here we go. Just let them send in a goddamn letter casting their vote. There's going to be more Democrats that are voting. Obviously, Trump will lose if that happens. And I think that's what they want. I think that's what they want rather than,
sure,
why don't we have people that are going to vote anyway, a vote? I mean, I don't know too many people in this area, Democrat or Republican.
Let's not look at delaying the election or vote in ballots as necessarily a partisan issue, because at its very core, it has no partisan. It's not really partial to any one side at its core. The two debates, you can suggest that, you know, the Democrats want it and the Republicans don't, and the reasons for that. But I don't think that's the appropriate way to look at it. And vote in ballots as a convenience thing, they make a lot of sense. You know, people should be voting. Citizens of the United States should be voting. But citizens that are not in the United States should not be voting, or citizens of another country legally. And I think that's the biggest problem. But also, I mean, voting should be very secure. I've watched numerous YouTube videos talking about this too, and it's like having a physical vote that goes in a physical box and is physically guarded and never opened to be sent to a voting area. That's very secure. No one can get in the way of that without it being known.
100%, yeah.
And then some countries do online voting now. That's a thing that's starting to emerge in, I think, some smaller European countries. And that's not secure at all. You wind up, it's very easy to hack into a system like that and just fudge the numbers. It's very easy to modify things. All of it is, software is not a secure thing where it's physical and you would know. It's not, right. And you can be secretive and do bad things with that. And then mail-in, I think, kind of is that same issue where, you know, maybe they get lost in the mail. Maybe they disappear in the mail, but arrived where they were going. Maybe, you know, it opens up extra holes in the system. It opens up extra chances for election fraud, which election fraud is one of the worst things that can possibly happen, because election fraud allows for people that shouldn't be in office to be in office. And the existence of election fraud very heavily shows why they shouldn't be in office. And then they'll do things to damage our system because they clearly don't respect it. Because
election fraud is, quite frankly, it's fraud. So, you know, my take on this whole thing, you know, delaying the election. Honest to God, I think that we're in a real pickle because of coronavirus and how the United States has the most amount of cases, and obviously we'll get into that, into the coronavirus section, but America has the largest amount of coronavirus deaths and cases and all that. And if it really is an issue, like Isaac said, then we don't want to put our American citizens at risk. Therefore, that's when I think delaying the election is a smart thing to do. But at the same time, you know, like Isaac had stated, we are very firm on our election date. So when would it be rescheduled for? Are we thinking this winter? Are we thinking springtime? You know, what exactly? Because Donald Trump, if he lost, would be out January 20th. He would be out of office. If he wins, you know, he continues. So do we just, there's a lot of ifs, right? And I feel like the easiest, you know, the easiest solution is just mail-in ballots. But then you really have to start thinking about the fraud. And I think that right there is what worries me about the Democrats, because they're not thinking rationally anymore. They're thinking, well, we want to win, and this is what we're going to do to win. And picking a president isn't the same as winning a sports game. It isn't the same as winning a football game or a soccer game. This is the commander in chief of our country. They need to stop looking at it as they're winning a trophy. They need to look at this as very rationally, you know, is this going to be fair? Is it going to be a fair election if we do mail-in ballots? Because even if the Democrats aren't involved in tampering, which would be very unlikely for them not to be involved, but let's say just a bunch of Trump haters decide to tamper with the letters, you know, the votes, that could, I mean, that causes a problem too, right? So
I mean, any opening to allow for fraudulent voting is a massive, massive, massive problem. No matter how big or how small the opening is, any new opening is a major problem. At least that's my mind on that.
But Democrats need to think rationally. They need to stop thinking, are we going to win? Or, you know, they need to stop thinking of this as a sports game, I said.
I think that's a problem as politics as a whole, is that it seems like the mentality of politicians and government officials as being, it seems like the mentality is straying farther and farther away from them being servants of the people.
But more or less winning. It's like a trophy.
Right. It is. Know, they just want to win. The Democratic Party wants to keep winning and winning and winning so they can push their ideals.
Republicans are the same way. Everyone wants to win. I mean, that's just human nature. But the fact is that these parties are making it into this big, like, oh, we have this hall of trophies. Every time there's a new president picked and it's there, you know, they get another point on their list. So I think that we're looking at this more of as a competition than, you know, who's actually going to bring change. I think it's a sticky situation, really.
Right. I'm going to try to reiterate what I just tried to say. It seems like that people go into politics to push their ideals, and it seems like that's more so now than ever before. If you look back in time, to me at least, right, it seems like the people of the United States past would do things for the people. They would push things that they thought the people 100%. Wanted and kind of what they want. It would be more of a mixture than it is now.
Government is for the people, by the people.
Right. And it shouldn't be a system that allows for any cracks. It shouldn't be a system that allows for necessarily opinion of the people in power. It should be opinion of the people of the United States. And that's where we move as a country, or that's where we try to move as a country.
Right,
that's what our core is. And yet our system doesn't feel like it's that way anymore. It
we
feels
just
like
can't.
You pick the less evil candidate, you go vote for them, and then they'll just go rampant with their own ideas. And they won't care about if people are mad about it. They won't care about, and that's regardless of what party they stand for. And that's regardless of the person in office. And that's just how it's working now. It seems inescapable.
We can't. We need to be very, very cautious. We need to think very rationally about this whole thing. And the answer, the solution isn't just saying, oh, well, Trump brought up concerns. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So we can't just say I just don't appreciate it when the media is like, oh, well, it's just Trump. He knows he's going to lose. No. Regardless if he loses or not, I mean, I would be concerned if I was a Democrat leader too. You know, as far as voter fraud, you know, what if there's voter fraud,
Republican voter fraud, and also, if you look at it from, if Donald Trump is looking out for the people in this, which I think he legitimately is, I think he's looking out for people. If Donald Trump is convinced of the numbers being portrayed to him for coronavirus, and he legitimately thinks it's smarter to delay it so that people don't get hurt, or smarter to delay it because he doesn't want mail-in ballots to be allowed because that's a dangerous thing to our system. That's him caring about the people. That's him working for the people in that scenario. That's not him pushing an agenda necessarily. And yet they're nitpicking him for it, and they're saying it's because he's just as afraid he's going to lose and he's trying to avoid it. That's
how would he go about delaying the election? Like, wouldn't that have to go through Congress? Wouldn't Congress have to approve that?
I don't even know how you do that.
I feel like that would be.
I don't think it's ever been done before, so I don't even know if there's a system to do it.
I'm sure there's a system for everything. The government pretty much prepares for every thing that could ever happen. So I'm sure there's a system in place. I'm just sure it'll probably have to do with Congress. I'm looking at my camera right now. There's a wicked lens flare.
But, it's like we're in a J.J. Abrams film.
At the end of the day, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens come this November. And if you're casting a ballot, then honestly, I hope that they just, if I was the government, I would just say, we're still holding the election, but you have to come and vote as usual, unless you're in the military and you can do the absentee. I don't think
there's any other safe way of going about it as far as the system goes.
Right. I don't either. I mean, it's a really sticky situation. You're not going to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the election does get delayed, you're just going to have Republicans bitching about it. Oh, my God. You're just going to have Democrats bitching about it. Oh, my God. They delayed the election. You know, it's because Trump knows he's going to lose. It's like, please. I mean, regardless if he loses or not, I mean, he's just worried about the election and keeping it as fair as possible for both parties.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that's a good concluding point. So now a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. So Isaac, coronavirus. So basically coronavirus, the big bad coronavirus wolf, is it really as bad as they say it is? Is it still as bad as they say it is? You know, I remember hearing...
Has it ever been as bad as they say it is?
Right, right. I remember seeing constantly on the news every night, coronavirus, coronavirus, coronavirus. And it's like...
I mean, you still kind of do.
But it's a little calmed down, really.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's look at the statistics rather than sitting here and just babble on. Let's look at the statistics. So we live in the United States, right? And we got about 300 odd million citizens, and we've had about 4.54 million confirmed coronavirus cases and 154,000 deaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I think that's very minimal, but I'll just.
You think the 4.5 million, which is, you think that's not that high of a number, 4.5 million people with it. And,
you know, when coronavirus was at, you know, at its peak, I would say that was probably back in maybe May-ish. Coronavirus is really at its peak. Everyone was worried about coronavirus. Coronavirus,
well,
you know that.
It's not like anything's changed since then. The virus is the same. The way we're handling it is the same. Why is there even an adjustment? Why is there a peak? Shouldn't we still be rising the same way as always? Because nothing has changed as far as what I've observed here. Now, we live in Maine, which is one of the very not super coronavirus heavy states. You know, so our view might be.
Let's say this. No, this is good. But, so in Maine, we live in the state of Maine. We have a population of 1.54 million people. We have 3,888 confirmed cases and 122 deaths. I am not going to sit here and say that that those deaths don't matter, but that's a fucking drop in the bucket. That is a drop in the bucket compared to our population. That is a drop in the bucket. And our governor is a Democrat. And she's running this state like a dictatorship, almost like, you know, there's an app now, and they're encouraging people, if they see people on the street not wearing a mask, to report them. There's an app.
What?
And if they'll report you, yeah.
What do you mean on the street?
If you see, so if there's someone that has the app and they see someone walking or that's out and about without a mask, they want you to report them to this app. Yeah.
What is reporting them do?
I mean, I don't think it doesn't penalize. I don't think you go to friggin' jail or anything. But
is it even legal to do? That's taking someone's photo and uploading it. I'm sure without their consent.
But we have 3,000 cases in this state, and we're worried about that. We're creating apps. We're wasting our taxpayers' dollars creating apps to report people that aren't wearing masks.
The only rational move I could have seen in the state of Maine to deal with this is to limit travel from other states, right?
But do you want to know what the crazy part about this is, Isaac? The majority of cases are in southern Maine, and that's where everyone's wearing masks. That's where everyone is wearing. Northern Maine, no one wears a friggin' mask.
No.
And there's no cases up here. Literally, no one has a case of coronavirus up here.
I would say 1 in 5 people. That's being generous to the mask wearers. Like that's probably more mask wearers than is reality. But I'd say 1 in 5 I've seen wearing a mask. Maybe.
But why are there so many cases down in southern Maine, and everyone's wearing a mask? But northern Maine, no one wears a mask. No one's worn a mask this whole time, and we don't have any cases.
Right. Wait,
so shouldn't we have cases? Like, even in Waterville, there's really no cases. Even in freaking, you know, the smaller cities that have a few thousand people, there's literally no cases. You get down to Portland, where a majority of our 66,000 people live in Portland, and that all the cases are down there. Literally, like, probably 85% of the cases are down there.
Well, I mean, it would make sense that it would spread faster in a city.
But my point is, if everyone's supposed to wear masks, and everyone down there is wearing masks, shouldn't... Okay,
well,
so
well,
if,
sure.
the, if
okay,
the conversation...
But to be,
if wearing masks is to prevent the spreading of coronavirus, how come it's spreading so heavily down there?
To be
well,
fair,
it's not really
Gage,
spreading heavily,
they've never
only,
said it's a perfect solution. It's not a solution. It's just being...
That's basically what they've said. They've said, "We're not. This is how we're going to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Wear a mask."
Right. It's to help to prevent. It's not like they've never... I don't think they've ever said that it's a perfect solution or that you won't get sick if you wear a mask.
And I think this is funny. I'm going to call out the hypocrisy. At first, you know, let's go back to January. Let's rewind to January, right? We've got January and this coronavirus thing. I mean, I hadn't heard of it. Brody was the one that brought it up. Brody was like, oh my God, you hear about this coronavirus thing? It hadn't come to the United States yet. It had just started. The first few cases popped up. And the Trump administration, within the first 10 days of this happening, said, and the CDC came out and said, wear masks and try and avoid public spaces. This is the only way we're going to prevent it. And what did the Democrats say? The Democrats said, he's racist. I think one of the actual examples were the New York mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, had said, it's because Trump had recommended don't go. He kept calling it the Chinese virus and he recommended not going. And there was this big Chinese festival in New York. And Bill de Blasio said, well, you're racist if you don't go. The Democrats were saying, if you don't go out in public, you're racist. And they didn't. They said, don't wear masks. Don't do this. It's not going to help. They basically. So then fast forward, you know, here we are. The cases are starting to get worse because no one's wearing a mask. And then the Democrats are flipping sides. And they're like, yeah, let's wear a mask. Let's wear a mask. The Republicans have always been on that side, right? Republicans have always been on that side for the most part. I mean, let's be honest.
People can be wrong, though. I mean, to be fair, I haven't. If you are wrong, shouldn't you flip to the other side when you realize that you're wrong?
But Isaac, I'd love to sit here and give them the benefit of the doubt. But you and I both know damn well that the reason they said that was because they can't agree with Trump no matter what. If Trump cured cancer tomorrow, he'd be Hitler. He'd be compared to Hitler. Okay? So I'm serious. You know,
destroying our medical economy by curing cancer. How could he do this? God. What an evil person.
Honest to God, that would probably be the argument. He's destroying no one's going to chemotherapy anymore. The industry's losing billions. That would honestly probably be what he would say. But irregardless, no matter what, the Democrats will not side with Trump because he is the quote unquote enemy of the party. And it's disgusting that they are risking Americans' lives because of them being scared because of their own ego. That's what it is. It's ego. They are afraid to say, sorry, you know, we were wrong, you know, but then they say, well, Trump didn't advocate for masks all along. Really? He's been advocating for masks this whole goddamn time. I believe that was actually one of the reasons why I disagreed with Trump, because I didn't want to wear a mask and I still don't wear a goddamn mask.
Well, you don't. I mean, it depends for me. Sometimes I'll wear a mask. If it's like no one's there, you know, it's something simple, I probably won't put on my mask just because it's an added hassle. Or if it's outside, I'm not going to put on a mask. But like if it's an inside area with lots of people, I'll put on the mask.
But I'm looking at this map and this map is provided by Google. You know, check it out if you want. And I'm looking at the states and honest to God, there are so many states down south that have no cases. We're talking California, Washington state. Those have a lot of cases. Texas, Florida, New York has a lot of cases. And the reason in Massachusetts, I guess, has some cases. The problem is, though, these are highly populated areas. That's why they're going to have a lot of cases. But like you look in like Utah, you know, OK, in Wyoming, I guess is how you say it. 2000 confirmed cases and 26 deaths in Wyoming. You know, Idaho, I guess that, you know, they got 19,000 cases. OK, fine. That's a fair bit of cases. Montana, 3000 cases, 55 goddamn deaths in Montana. You shitting me? Right. And granted, these are lesser populated areas. South Dakota, 8,000 cases, 120 in death. They got 8,000 cases and they got about the same deaths as Maine. Okay. North Dakota, same deal, you know, 6,000 cases. So what I'm basically trying to say is you have these states. It's really not a big deal in these rural areas. And I guess, I mean, sure, rural areas means less people surrounded by each other. But the real big issues are in the cities, New York, friggin' California, Florida. Those are where the big problems are.
Why
are we wasting taxpayers' dollars creating apps in Maine when we have 3,888 cases?
The biggest problem we've had with coronavirus since day one is people's inability to just stay where they are, to localize. Buy your groceries from the local grocery store. Don't drive to the other state to do things. You know, you don't need to go camping right now, so don't drive to Maine. do not bring your coronavirus to Maine. To Maine. I mean,
but
seriously.
I also don't believe that we should say. But Maine is a tourist. Maine is a tourist state, and this year alone, we've lost billions in revenue.
Oh,
and you
sure.
know that's going to be very
but
negative.
But we wouldn't. This problem would not have prolonged if we just didn't let people just travel around and spread it. If we just told, if we
yeah sure,
if we
the
didn't,
travel
if
ban
we,
should
if
have been
closed,
implemented day one.
If we closed our borders, which I have been thinking this whole time is the most rational thing to do, if we just closed off our borders for a little while until it subsided, then people wouldn't die as much. People and we would probably be back on our feet. And it's
but you know, we've gotten in, this is a pissing contest between parties. It's literally right. a pissing contest. The Democrats can't admit that they were wrong, and the Republicans can't admit that they were wrong. And honest to God, this is only just hurting America. Hundreds of thousands of jobs have been lost. They're trying to pass another like ridiculous $2-3 trillion relief thing in Congress. They're going to give everyone like $1,600 this time. It's like, are you kidding? That's a waste of our resources when we could have just shut down for a month. The cases would have been gone and we could be back up by summertime. But instead, we dinked around in Congress and we worried about our own everyone's own personal gain. And that's what really pisses me off is you have these people, these politicians, they are the servants of the American people. And they are more interested in their own personal goddamn gains. And that right there is what pisses me off, because these people don't have to worry about coronavirus. They can sit in their million-dollar mansions and they can sit in, you know, in their mansions with their fucking fences and their walls around their house. They can sit in there and pay someone to go to the grocery store, and they're still getting paid salary. Your tax dollars are still paying for Nancy Pelosi to sit home and stay away from the coronavirus when you got essential workers out there working their ass off because their colleagues have been laid off and there's only a few people working now, picking up a job that requires a shit ton of people, but they all got laid. I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about this, Isaac, but
no,
there's just so
it.
Much there's so much hypocrisy.
Well,
in this
okay.
whole thing.
If you want to look at the biggest examples of just, I mean, maybe not hypocrisy, but blatant stupidity. I think it was in New York. Remember when they were, I don't know how big of a thing this was, but some states, and I think one city, I think it was New York, was sending people that were sick, like elderly people that were sick with coronavirus, to the nursing homes to be treated.
Yeah. You know, the nursing homes is where most cases actually came from.
And we wonder why things are bad right now. But yet these Democrats have been pushing things like sending sick people to nursing homes where people are in high risk of catching and dying from it. That I guess that is blatant hypocrisy. Trying to point fingers at coronavirus cases when you're sending people to go die in the elderly person's home. That's
right.
It's evil and it's stupid. It's one of those two things. You're either
basically
just so blatantly dumb you cannot put two and two together, or you're an evil person that should not exist.
But they're not willing to admit that they were wrong, though. And that's the thing.
Right.
They can't just. I mean, honest to God, why can't we forget about political parties for a day or a month and just say, I want America to get healthier again. I want coronavirus to be no more. Why do we have to look at this and say, oh, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican? Why can't we just say we're Americans? We want to solve this goddamn thing and listen to whoever.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm of the cynical view that this is being blown out of proportions. And all these counter-effective means are being taken by politicians, not because they're idiots, but because they are in fact evil, and they want the cases to go up so that it's not actually them inflating the numbers. Because, right. I don't know about you, but I haven't met a single person with coronavirus. I don't even know of a person with actual coronavirus besides maybe celebrities that have come on the news. And yet apparently we have three times the amount of cases as India. I'm looking at this map you can get on Google. You just search coronavirus stats and there'll be a little
and
map
this is
thing
Google,
that pops
so
up.
It's not like this is all, this isn't like a conservative.
Right. This isn't some weird source, but it's from Google. And India has about 1.6 million cases.
What's the population of India? Isn't it over a billion?
It's like right up close to China. It's really close. There's the two big countries in the world are China and India.
How come a first world country like America, like the United States, who has one of the best healthcare systems and not, I mean, who has a really good, you know, medical, every, you know, in our country, the United States, we're very safe.
Yeah.
How come, and India, you know, it's a third world country. They have people pedaling bikes on the street. You know, it's a lot of people, it's crowded. They're on the streets. America?
I'm sure people have seen
four
images.
Times the cases. How come America? United States has four times the cases
as
India.
It's not four times. It's like, it's three times. It's about three times.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's like 4.6 million in the United States, and it's like 1.6 million about in India.
We have a quarter of the population of India.
No, that doesn't make sense. You know why? Because here in America, we have houses that are separate from each other, typically. I mean, besides like apartment complexes... Let me say what I'm saying. We have clean living spaces. We live generally distant from each other. We have, you know, we're not all smushed together into little slums like people are in India. I'm not trying to be racist or any way, but India has a lot of very, very poor people that are smushed in tiny little spaces. They're living in their own piss all over the floor, basically. I mean, maybe not technically, but essentially, it's a slummy area. So you cannot convince me that a country with lots of areas like that is like a third less, or they're a third of the cases of the United States, which has less populous and more cleanly living quarters. I mean, sure our people have been kind of not caring about isolating and stuff like that. And people in India, I think, have been kind of quarantining pretty hard. But yeah, Gage, say what you're going to say.
So I got a question for you, Isaac.
Yeah.
How many deaths do you think India has from coronavirus? It being such a dirty...
I'm not gonna give an estimate. I have no grounds to make an estimate.
Just make an estimate. So they have 1.58 million.
I would think they would be. If you want me to give a number, do not take this credibly because I'm Gage is making me. I would think it'd be at least twice as bad as the United States. At least.
There's 34,000 deaths in India and 1 million people recovered from coronavirus.
Oh, holy cow.
34,000 deaths.
In India, they say more people have recovered than... Okay, if you scale... They say about half the people are confirmed recoveries in the United States. But they say two-thirds of the people are confirmed recoveries in India. Now, why do... more people recover in a third world country than in a country with healthcare
unlimited
like
resources.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to.
People say the numbers aren't fudged in the United States, but India is somehow doing better than us in recoveries.
So let me tell you something about the United States. I have a friend. I'm going to leave him nameless, but he was telling me that there are a lot of doctors in this area. So basically how the medical system works in this country is, let's say, you know, you have a heart attack and you go to the hospital and you contract coronavirus in the hospital and you die from the heart attack. They count that as a coronavirus death. So what is happening is a lot of these people are coming in for other reasons and they're contracting coronavirus in the medical system and they're dying from the other thing and it's being written down as coronavirus. because right. the medical they get like $1,200 or something dollars per death, or maybe I think it's a lot more.
But they get a lot of money. There was some financial incentive, but I don't. Yeah, and that might be the reason. But any no matter where it's coming from, there's definitely something going on. Because I honestly, I mean, sure, you could argue that India is probably not the most trustworthy country to get those numbers from. Because like if you look at China, which is communist and big, they're a lying country. They say they only have 85,000. At least the Google Map says 85,000 confirmed coronavirus cases. And there's no chance of that. That is totally false. So maybe you could argue that India could be false. They could be lying and making it seem like there's less cases. But I honestly trust India more than that. I think India's made a lot of massive strides into becoming a significant country that's decent and deserves to be kind of in the world systems, you know, deserves to be recognized. I don't think India is a country that lies, honestly.
You know what I think is funny? In this entire world, you know, the entire world, there's 7 billion people, and we've had a total of 17 million confirmed cases, over 10 million people recovered, and there have been 668,000 deaths. And the United States is 153,000 of those 668,000. I don't know about you, but the United States is like, what, the fifth or sixth highest populated country in the world? And we are getting, we have a majority of the debt. How does that work?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. You know, we've got the United States is number one. Brazil is number two with 2 million. India is number three with 1 million. So it's United States, Brazil, India, and then Russia is number four. But no other country has the deaths like we have. It's like our deaths are just like so inflated for some reason. But it's the first four countries. No, it's actually the first like three countries that have deaths that... And then the rest of them, like 7,000 deaths, you know, 18,000, you know, 9,000 deaths. There's like no deaths. You know, one country has 171 friggin' deaths. A country. I don't know. Listen, when is this going
to
end?
Right. So to try to kind of bring it back to the core of what we're talking about, which is, you know, what about coronavirus nowadays? Has it ever been accurate? Can we even rely on any of the numbers we have? Can we make rational decisions in these times when clearly there's something going on with these numbers?
I don't believe that we can.
I don't think we can. And I don't think we can shut everything down and be super worried about it. And I don't think we as people should be terrified anymore. I think we should try to not be terrified. Allow our system to work the way it's supposed to. Allow America to continue to be America and not go bankrupt from no one working their jobs and no one doing anything. Because if we're not going to be provided with numbers that are real, then we can't listen to these people if they're not going to tell us the truth. And we just have to function the way we know how to. That's my stance on it.
So I agree with Isaac completely, but I think we're going to kind of turn this conversation into something else. So lawmakers in the United States are very much hypocrite. You know, okay, I think there's a lot of hypocrisy with lawmakers in the United States. A video actually went viral. With Representative Gerald Nadler. He's a Democrat in New York. Gerald Nadler, he's a very popular Democrat. I mean, if you know anything about politics, you know who this guy is. You know, there was a live stream, C-SPAN Congress. Well, he took his mask off to speak. And he's telling people, if you're in public, you need to wear your mask. All these Democrats are. And he's not the only Democrat that's been doing this. So many Democrats have done this, including Nancy Pelosi. And all of a sudden, the Republicans started calling them out on their shit. And Nancy Pelosi says, well, if you don't wear a mask, you're not coming into Congress. She just said that a couple of days ago. And it's like, what hypocrisy. You've done that yourself, Nancy. Literally, these people are, I don't, you know, they want to make rules for everyone else, but they want to be above the law. And that's what it comes down to. They want to be above Isaac, myself, and you, the listeners at home. They want to make laws that they don't have to follow. And I think it's absolutely disgusting. Well, and I think us as a nation should revolt.
To be fair, Gage, I think it's... if you're speaking into a microphone and you need people to actually hear you, because you need to be understood when you're in Congress and when you're in government positions, you need what you're saying to actually be... you need the communication to happen. It's having the mask on inhibits that to a degree. And if you're up on a microphone or up on a platform, I think sliding off your mask to speak so that you're speaking into the microphone clearly is totally acceptable. Now, is it hypocritical for these people to be in a position and they're saying, absolutely under no circumstances can you take off your mask, but then take off their mask? Sure. But it's also, they should be taking off their masks so that people can hear what they're saying. So, yes, they're being hypocritical, but what they're actually doing isn't wrong. It's just what they're pushing is wrong.
You know, I gotta disagree with you, Isaac, because, listen, it would be different if the Democrats were like, saying they weren't as hard on people for not wearing masks. But the problem is they are absolutely assholes. They're pricks. They give you shit, you know, if you're not wearing a mask in public or in general. They encourage Democrats to come up and say shit to you. They literally do that on Twitter. You know, you see all the time people are actually proud. These celebrities, these politicians are actually proud of their Democrat. I guess the word would be they're the people below them going and giving shit to people that aren't wearing. But then in Congress, it's a double standard. So my response to this would be, if you don't want this to be complete. Yeah, I agree with you, Isaac. People should be, you know, in Congress, especially, you should be able to hear what they're saying. But why don't they do this meeting over Zoom or Skype? Why don't they do this meeting, this Congress meeting, on a platform in their own house, like where they don't have to wear a mask, right? So we don't have to listen to this bullshit.
I mean, I guess
they could prevent this.
I guess that is a solution, but they could also just not wear a mask. I mean, it's like, it's not that big a deal.
I'm against wearing masks in general, but honest to God, I don't want someone who's preaching this.
Right.
To then not
well, I
do,
mean, I mean,
know,
I think
then,
I think an important thing in what you just said was is that they're pushing people to like go and call people out on not wearing a mask. That's very childish. That's one big thing.
But then they get offended.
Right. That
when yeah.
When people are being childish about them, or maybe not so childish because they're recognizing hypocrisy, but when they push acting childish about all this, but then also don't follow what they push, that's absolutely wrong. They should be, if they truly believe in what they're saying, they should be pushing something like Zoom or everyone wearing a mask. Now, I don't believe what they think is right, so I don't think it's, I think it's just fine if they don't wear their mask. I don't think that's a big deal. But I guess I can agree with like a lot of what you're saying. I would think it'd be totally fine if they just tried to find another solution other than meeting in person.
Right. Because I mean, I'm not really.
At least they wouldn't be hypocrites.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the big thing. They're hypocrites when they do it this way. And I mean, it doesn't make me want to respect them because that's like, it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those things, but I don't know. What do you think on this whole thing, Isaac? Like, do you think it's that big of a deal? Should we not care? Or do you think that
this, I think in this things like I think in government, people shouldn't be wearing the mask. But I think as a general thing, it's not that harmful. Don't be a baby about it and be like, oh, no, I can't handle wearing the mask. It's so uncomfortable. I think people like that should just shut up. pretty much, but I also don't think the masks are that big of a deal. I don't think it's really changing all that much. I think the numbers are inflated. So I really don't know what to think, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Listen, for those of you at home, I don't wear a mask, but I also don't complain about it. I don't have a reason for not, like, I don't say, oh, I don't wear a mask.
Well, yeah, you're not complaining about not wearing a mask because you're not complaining about having to wear a mask because you're not wearing a mask. But some people,
what I'm saying is I'm not saying, oh, I don't have a reason. I'm not saying, oh, this mask hurts. I'm just not wearing a mask because I don't really give a flying fuck. So I mean, that's why I don't wear a mask.
It's a bad stance to have, but I mean, hey, at least you're honest about it.
I have two masks in my car just in case I need to go into a cigar shop and they won't let me in. But other than that, I don't wear a mask and I won't ever wear a mask. You will not see me wearing a mask. And hey, I'm healthy. I haven't gotten coronavirus, and I've been in friggin' Portland, where all 3,000 of our cases are. But no, I don't know. I don't know. It's really,
I think we can start having actual opinions on this and start having knowing how to move forward when the news stops lying to us. But until then, there's no way of knowing. And you can't have rational opinions on something that you don't understand. You can't have opinions on how to handle things that you don't understand. And we're not being allowed to understand that. And that's a shame. And I guess that's what I have to say.
But I think that's it for today. I mean, I don't really have anything else to say.
No, I mean, I'd say that was pretty good. I think yeah. I think all of our statements we made are wrapped up and
Now a word from our sponsor. And we're back to end out the episode. Brody's not here once again. He actually was here, but he ended up leaving because he didn't have time to record the episode, unfortunately. I don't know if he'll be back next
week. I had computer problems yet again. I had them last week. Yeah. This time I figured out what it was. I thought I had figured it out. I didn't figure it out. Now I have figured it out. And hopefully things will start being more smooth in the future. Hopefully you guys will have Brody's voice to also listen to in the future podcast, because I think he has some interesting outlooks, and I don't think hopefully things will return back to normal here on the Midday Mumbles podcast
soon. Yeah, we're on episode 40 right now. We are about 12 episodes away from the 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hallelujah. For listening to the entire duration of this episode if you're here. That's super cool.
But if you want to support the show, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends. Also, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out a lot.
Gage obsesses over that Apple Podcast review. So please, if you want to make Gage happy, go leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts.
I think we're going to start this new thing. I'm going to read a bad review that someone left on our Apple Podcast, and I just want to laugh at this.
That's a bad idea, Gage. That is incentivizing bad reviews. Gage, save the moving forward decisions to private conversations when we're not on the microphone. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Isaac.
I've been Gage. Have a great and safe week. We'll see y'all back here next Monday.
See you later.
Hallelujah.